I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I have to be honest. I wanted to choose Ian McEwan or Philip Larkin for this series on writers, and you can probably tell a lot about me from that. But when I invited the preachers to send me their choice, I saw that it ended up being an all-male list. So I thought instead of a poet who only died in January this year, and whose work has woven itself into my faith and thinking about God over the years, and to whom I would like to pay this very small tribute. Mary Oliver lived most of her life in and around Provincetown on the extreme tip of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Many find her work intimate, personally affecting, but the poems are also often publicly recited, such as when former Vice President Joe Biden read Wild Geese at the 9/11 memorial in New York. She is best known for her poignant observation of the natural world's quiet occurrences. She began each day with a long walk to woods, ponds, and harbors, with her notebook in her hand, scribbling, watching, learning, and then using her notes to shape her poetry. She said that she tried to listen convivially to the world. And it is this focus on her environment and being a part of what she called the great family of things that marks out her writing. She is very much a poet for the David Attenborough generation, attending to nature, from grasshoppers to humpback whales, from marshlands to the ocean, but never in an over-sentimental or simplistic way, although for her, attention without feeling is only a report. She's not afraid to voice the seeming indifference of the natural world towards us. In one poem, I Go Down to the Shore, she writes, "I go down to the shore in the morning, and depending on the hour, the waves are rolling in or moving out, and I say, oh, I am miserable. What should I do? And the sea says in its lovely voice, excuse me, I have work to do." The poet Stanley Kunitz has said that Mary Oliver's poetry is fine and deep. It reads like a blessing. Her special gift, he continued, is to connect us with our sources in the natural world, its beauties and terrors, its mysteries and consolations. There is no doubt that a large part of her popularity is due to the fact that by a minute focus on one small bird or animal, she raises the alarm to a global creation in peril. She reminds us that when we don't see or attend to nature, we are equally not seeing ourselves, and so diminish, leaving us as parched as the planet we dominate at any price. If her poems are like blessings, then it may be because we sense that original blessing we heard of just now in Genesis, that God looked and it was good. Another reason Oliver's work is popular is because there is an unapologetically spiritual quality to her work without being formally religious or dogmatic. Now, spirituality is a very vague term today, but tends to refer to religious experience without religious language. Some of her poems speak of prayer, death and rebirth, light and darkness. But it is the way she points to the sustaining truths and feelings that conventional religion and modern society seem unable to for many that makes her gratefully admired. She has referred to her work as praise poems for unawakened hearts. We live, she prompts us to recall, in a world of presences that we should wonder at rather than be distracted by a world of facts that would weigh us down. Theological critics, and maybe literary ones too, might find Oliver too airy, animistic, or unsophisticated. But it was St. Augustine who asked us to do what she does. Some people, he wrote, in order to discover God, read books. But there is a great book, the very appearance of created things. Look above you, look below you, note it, read it. God, whom you want to discover, never wrote that book in ink. Instead, he set before your eyes the things that he had made. Can you ask for a louder voice than that? So I have been corrected by Mary Oliver, for she has a deeper sense of the sacredness of the earth than many religious bodies seem to have. And I have been haunted by her invitation to just see what alienation from the natural world does to us and to the environment. She reminds us that our global climate change and sustainability crises are at heart a spiritual issue because it comes out of human pride and self-absorption and greed and indifference to the future. The last reason I thank her is that her later poems began to include an I, the emergence of a self-reflective voice that self-scrutinizes, but in such a way that we never feel some ego has ruptured the poem by demanding center stage. Instead, her I becomes our us. Her question to herself becomes our question. Her poems are an annunciation, addressing us directly about who we have become and where we want to be. Uncomfortable though the questions are, we like them because they remind us that there are decisions to be made about life. It doesn't just happen and take us along. We have wills and we make lives as well as live them. She is almost like a doctor in a surgery, asking us how we want to proceed in the light of the diagnosis. I believe this to be in the tradition of Jesus Christ, who, whilst telling us not to be anxious about tomorrow, nevertheless wants us to make that tomorrow a day nearer the kingdom of God. Let's end with her. The summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last, and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?